You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guest is Dr. Michael Mao. Michael returns to share what's transpired since our last shows together and what is to come. He has published a series of books detailing the events preceding, during, and after 2012 under the main titles, The Sanctus Germanus Prophecies. He is one of several mediums for the Great Brotherhood of Light. Before his mediumship, he pursued a career in the Foreign Service and worked as a consultant to the United Nations and the U.S. Agency for International Development and the World Bank. He has lived and worked in Europe, Africa, Asia, and North America and speaks four languages. You can find a wealth of esoteric information at his website as well as his books, www.sanctusgermanus.net, and we'll mention that again before the end of the show. But now, let's welcome Michael back to the show. Hi, Michael, how are you?
Hi, Lance. It's a pleasure to be back.
Yes, it seems like we were just talking yesterday, but I'm sure it's been longer than that.
It's been over 2 years.
Oh, my God. Well, you know, you are probably one of the most knowledgeable and wisest people in terms of the 2012 information. I loved your three books. And at the time, I can't remember, but it seemed like there were some impending events. But now we're so close that I'm sure that you'll have a lot to share about what's coming. We're in 2011. 2012 is around the corner. So I'm just going to kind of turn the show over to you and maybe let you catch up with us.
Well, you know, as you know, I'm not one of these real scaremongers about 2012. I look
right.
at 2012 as an end of a cycle. And, of course, at the end of a cycle, usually you have a massive cleanup as we are having right now.
Yeah.
And the cleanup of the financial system, because that is what... That is how what we call the dark forces or the powers that be on this earth control humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is one of their main tools through the economic and financial systems that how they control mankind. So that thing is being battered to death. And I think we started the downturn in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
The process has never been cured. And the whole world system is building up now to another big crash, and I think that's coming within months.
Well, good.
And it's a very good thing because we've got to get rid of the system because it really is a system of elites and poor people.
Yes, yes, absolutely. There's such a great divide between them, and what will happen is the rest of the world will starve to death, and you know the elites will be tucked away in their underground bunkers
right.
or on other planets.
You see what's happening in the United States? How the division is getting greater and greater.
Oh people my God!
People losing
yeah.
their jobs, they're losing their homes, while people in Wall Street and the other elites in Europe are just getting mm-hmm. richer and richer.
Yeah.
For what? I don't know. I really don't know what they need all the money for, but that's the way things are going. And I think what it's really coming about now with the Greece crisis and the rest of the periphery of Europe,
mm-hmm.
we're seeing the signs of this whole system crumbling.
Mm-hmm.
And well, I think... you know, just brace yourself because that's part of the whole prophecy, and of course the next point is the war has already started. We had predicted a third world war, and it didn't quite start off the way I thought it would be, with a big bang. But instead, what it is are these small wars that are going to just gather together in the future. Like you have what's going on in Syria, what's going on in Libya, what went on in Egypt, Iraq, and Afghanistan. The whole, you know, all those things are just going to come to a head. And that's going to be what the world war is about. And it'll spread. It'll spread all around the world also, in different parts like India and Pakistan. That thing is getting ready to blow up again. And all the friction points that have been reserved by the dark forces so they can just push the button, start it up again. And, of course, we have seen the third factor in this end of a cycle already starting are the earth changes. And you saw what happened in the tsunami that hit Japan and all the earthquakes. Right now, you know, the U.S. Geological Survey says that 2011 has accumulated the most earthquakes ever since they have recorded earthquakes, and we're only half the year.
Is it possible for us to determine what portion of the earthquakes that are being generated around the world are due to the major powers having high technology like HAARP, and because there are weather wars going on as well, financial wars, and then I suspect that these meltdowns at the various atomic plants are a form of nuclear war.
It could be. I'm not too sure how strong they are about this HAARP. It's supposed to be able to generate or provoke earthquakes. I do think the one in Haiti was.
Yes.
But the ones that seem to be around the Pacific Rim, the Ring of Fire, I think those are just the earth shaking off and, you know, shaking about and you know, getting a little bit impatient about what's going on. So it's that big soul is working toward working toward cleaning up the periphery, because eventually I think we will see the rise of another continent, but that'll be way, way, way in the future. But I think these are the preparatory marks of that happening. And the earthquakes in Japan, for example, I was told about them 12 years ago.
Wow.
As part of the sinking of Japan.
Which yes. You know, that was scary. I've seen films of the land, and we don't see it now, but it looked like there was nothing but liquid underneath the surface.
And
Yes, and the cement sidewalks and the streets were moving up and down as if they were floating. It's frightening.
Well, I think with Japan, it is, from our esoteric view, it is a karmic episode. So that's why I don't think that particular earthquake was generated by HAARP.
Okay.
I think it's part of the beginning of a process that will end up in the sinking of Japan. And when you do have that happen, then you're going to have major, major problems in Hawaii and on the West Coast, because you're going to have a massive tsunami that's going to slam into the West Coast, and, you know, you can imagine what will happen after that.
Yes. I actually had a vision of that about 15 years ago, and I saw this huge wall of water going over Los Angeles, and there was one going over the Egyptian desert where the Nile is and where the pyramids are.
Oh, yeah? Well, what I see is that tsunami will slam into the San Francisco Bay Area. And, you know, that's sort of the entry into the Central Valley. And then it'll just go right into the Central Valley and fill it up with water. And then that will be the weight of that water will, eventually pull down the whole coast and sink it into the Pacific Ocean.
Right, right.
The whole continental shelf. And I think that may happen within our lifetime.
Well, yes, yes. It's way overdue.
It is overdue, and it's and you can see the rumblings of that right now. These are warning signs, as are all the floods that you see in the Mississippi, the Missouri. All these are stern warnings that, you know, if you're smart, don't go back and build your house right on the flood
right.
Which a lot of people will be doing.
Right. Well, if they do that, then that must be part of their soul plan.
Oh, boy. In any case, you got those three things churning up right now. You have the whole financial and economic system about to just drop off the precipice, and then you've got these wars going, and that'll build up to a greater war, and then you've got the earth changes that are coming or are already in progress.
Mm-hmm.
So we're really living in interesting times, Lance.
To be sure.
Put it mildly.
Well, now, Earth, or Gaia Sophia, and the Sun are sentient conscious beings, aren't they?
They are.
So what is going on with the Sun's electromagnetic pulses? There was supposed to be some kind of solar maximum in 2012, and the Sun's been ominously quiet. I'm assuming that it is doing so for the benefit of Gaia and ourselves, to awaken us at a pace that we can handle.
Well, I don't think they're waiting for it to coddle us with what needs to be done. What needs to be done is governed by a cosmic clock, which is under the cosmic law of periodicity.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to happen whether we like it or not, whether
right.
we're prepared or not.
Right.
And I don't think it's, the heat that's going to be hitting the Earth more and more is going to be coming from other suns and other stars that will be sort of aiming at us. And this is all part of a whole a plan to start up the whole warming of the Earth and the cleansing of it.
Well, I guess the question that's on everybody's mind is, since the dark forces have controlled this sector for, well, probably since the beginning of time, are they going to finally are we finally going to be able to separate the good from the bad and
you mean to get rid of them?
Yes, you read my mind.
Well, Lance, there's something else going on right now, and of course we all feel it. It's called acceleration.
Mm-hmm.
And you feel how time is just whipping by. You lift your head up and the day's gone, and then you turn around and then the month's gone.
Oh yeah.
So you have this very this increasing acceleration, and it's increasing day by day. I am told that those vibrations are going to get so go so fast and be at such a high frequency that itself will eliminate a lot of the dark force energies and powers, and also all the other people that are following them. These are all low-energy beings that will just be kind of wanting to get off the Earth because they can't stand the higher vibrations. And if light-bearers wake up, and I'm afraid they're a bit slow in waking up,
yes,
they will also adjust to these vibrations through meditation and through other methods. They're the ones that would be able to survive this. So I mentioned the light bearers because those are the ones that are supposed to balance off the negative energies of the dark forces. But at the same time, the dark forces will be eliminated because of the acceleration that's going on.
So the acceleration is, as many people claim, higher frequencies that are that are coming in at a timed, in a timed or timely manner.
That's right.
Okay, good, good.
That is also causing the upheaval
mm-hmm.
in the economic and financial systems, as well as throwing the dark forces off, so that they're kind of desperately looking for a way of saving themselves with these wars.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, those vibrations will also be will also cause the earth changes. So everything is just, you know, getting just going faster and faster and faster and faster until the whole system is cleaned out.
Mm-hmm. So it really is a purification process, which
absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. And it's internal. It's as above, so below.
That's right.
Okay, good, good. So on the time frame, many people are saying, as you just mentioned, that within a period of months that the global financial collapse is about to be known. Will that
the second wave
started in 80, was it 89 or the last one?
No,
was...
I said it started in 2005.
Okay.
And then it built up and really fell off in 2008. Now building up to another, it's just like a roller coaster, you know, as it just goes up and down, but this one is going to be quite a severe plunge. And I think it'll keep plunging for another 20 years.
Wow.
Down, until it hits bottom, and then it'll just kind of bump along the bottom for another 20, 30 years also.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no way. I mean, I wouldn't invest in the stock market if I were you. I mean, everything is just going to keep going down. And then I think people will find out that they will start seeing things in a whole different way, back to the original sense of what they should be, what they should be like.
Oh yes. Well, we've become so disconnected from the earth and from the spirit energies and from the divine.
Right.
We're just completely discombobulated through the material realms and the constant bombardment of these lower frequencies of television and sales and
exactly.
consumerism.
And we will start discovering the real self,
mm-hmm,
our real
mm-hmm.
self. When this is, I think it's one of the most wonderful things that's ever happened to Earth.
Yes. Is this something of a replay of Atlantis and Lemuria?
Exactly.
Okay.
We are exactly at the point where Atlantis was given a choice, and
uh-huh.
we are too, before it was decided to sink them. The only difference this time is the fact that the spiritual hierarchy is trying a brand new strategy that is flooding the earth with light bearers. And
uh-huh.
light bearers are all, you know, old souls. They were at one point quite advanced spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
And they all sacrifice their spiritual advancement in the upper realms to come back to this earth and help humanity. And that was what was supposed to balance off and eventually overcome
mm-hmm.
the dark forces. And I say it that way because the strategy isn't working that well.
That's what I thought, but I wasn't quite sure if it was me or if it was... It seems like a lot of them have not awakened yet.
Well, you know, sometimes a two-car garage and the swimming pool is more important.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
But once the financial collapse occurs, then there will be no reason to pursue those things, and people will be forced to go within and see what is of true value, which is the spiritual aspect.
Cross your fingers, Lance.
No, I am.
That is a threshold
mm-hmm.
that's going to determine whether we make it through this thing
mm-hmm.
or the spiritual hierarchy just decides to just do us all
Call
in.
It a wrap.
Call a wrap and start all over again.
Right, right. Well, then in that case, what would happen? Everything would be reabsorbed into the vacuum or melt it down?
No, so no. What they'll do is it'll be more of a destructive cleansing.
Dope.
The Earth is going to stay here for another, you know, zillion years.
Right.
But it's just a matter of cleaning it up. And just like Atlantis, you know, Atlantis was on Earth, and then they were cleaned up, and then we had the Egyptian civilization that rose out of that.
Yes. And then the dark infiltrated and took over that.
That's right. They managed to carry over, mm-hmm. and that's what... It's the Atlantean souls that are the basis of these dark forces that control the Earth today.
Mm. Mm.
So I'm told, because of the higher vibrations that will not stop, that will not slow down until we reach the new age, these souls will be, you know, sort of buzzed out of the Earth's atmosphere. And those who remain will be those who adjust to these higher vibrations.
Oh.
So as we're operating after the major floods, if we're operating on the higher vibrations, it'll be quite a different world.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be a more spiritual world.
Oh, thank goodness. Thank goodness. And, you know, the whole aspect of using money and fractional reserve banking, which, of course, you are an expert on, and bankrupting and buying other countries for fun, all of that will come to a halt.
All that's going to end. I mean,
yes.
the monetary system is almost dead. It's like a walking zombie right at this at this moment.
Yes.
So
yes.
That is for sure. That is inevitable. That thing will disappear. That will go away. But once it goes away... you know, you're still going to have a lot of people that could reinstitute something just as bad.
Yes.
And that is why we need the light bearers to wake up, because
yes.
those are the ones that are going to put a stop to it if they can.
Yes. Well, if the frequency was raised to a sufficient level, then that seems like that would be an aid to keeping those lower vibrations from manifesting again like a virus.
That's true. However, all of us represent a duality also. There's still some of that in each and every of us.
Yeah.
And the dark forces didn't come out of nowhere. It came out of people like us.
Right.
So
you make a good
we
point.
We have to be really doubly sure and doubly vigilant.
Yes.
In what we reinstitute as a way of you know, in our communities and in our, if there are any countries left, but whoever survives all this stuff, we're also carrying some of that bad stuff with us.
That's right.
So we have to be very, very vigilant that those old principles have to give way to the new spiritual principles. And cosmic laws is what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to build a new age, otherwise we're going to end up with the same stuff.
Same
again.
Old stuff, yeah.
That's right.
Do you think that the Ascended Masters would, as they have before, walk among us to assist us during the transitional phases to keep us on a spiritual path?
Yes, this is the great promise.
Oh, good.
That's part of what... Alice Bailey wrote about, called the externalization of the hierarchy.
Uh-huh.
They'll be more and more visible to us and working with us constantly to help us. There's a whole host of them that are going to help us move into this new era, because there are a lot of challenges ahead, and there's
yes.
going to be a lot of chaos and turmoil. So they're going to step in and help us.
Wonderful. And also, you mentioned that we will become more telepathic. We have skills that we've forgotten about or that have been densified due to the low vibrations here. It seems that if we were more telepathic and we had worked on eliminating or working on letting up our shadow side or unconscious self, that the act of telepathy, the joining of us in spirit, would also assure that there would be no dark intent with that couldn't be known.
The thing with telepathy, and it is going to be something that we will use more and more, as the vibrations get higher and higher, so we're being raised more into our etheric bodies, and that we'll be using our telepathic senses a lot more. But I don't think that guarantees that the bad is not going to show up again.
Right.
What will happen is that people will be more transparent to us, and we'll be able to see bad motives. That kind of stuff and trickery will be less hidden in these higher vibrations.
Well, that would be a pleasant change, wouldn't it?
It would be.
Now, some people are banking on the ET presence, the positive ETs, and disclosure of the involvement that we've had for 100 years or so or longer. Is there anything to that that you that is significant, or is that just something that we is not worth bringing forth?
Well, you know, the computer technology which we have today was part of a deal that was made in the early 50s with ET. So there are some benefits to it. However, those ETs were brought in, or those agreements were made with the dark forces, which enabled them to enslave the world even more after the Second World War. If you know, half the world was under communism and the other half was under consumerism. So they really kept us behind in our spiritual development for 50, 60 years.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, according to what I've been told, there are those that are on the earth but are not of the earth. And these are ET souls that have incarnated, who will rise and give us this all the new technologies and stuff that we need to enter a new era. And these people are already here, but they haven't made themselves really known yet. I think after the financial system collapses, they will start to emerge.
Well, you know,
they bring with them a whole host of knowledge that will be very helpful for our new civilization.
Well, it seems like it would be necessary for cleaning up some of the damage that's been done through our unconscious raping and pillaging of the planet.
Yeah. Well, I think the floods would do a lot for to clean up. And remember, we have projections that the sea will rise at least 200 feet. And if you can imagine what that means.
Well, the coastlines would certainly become toast.
They certainly will. And what's on the coastline is all the major banking cities.
Right.
And all the ports. And I mean, Singapore, Hong Kong, Shanghai, Amsterdam. I mean, the whole bit. And London also.
Oh, yes.
Now, the only one that's going to be left standing of these big financial capitals are those that are well up in the Alps in Switzerland. And that's where I always said the last step would be for the dark forces.
And of course there's a seed bank somewhere up in the foothills or in the snow-capped mountains of the is it the Swiss Alps? They put a seed bank to save the seeds.
Yeah, but there's one also up in Denver.
Oh, I didn't
know. That'll be a safe area, too. Yeah, there's a major one up there that the United States government put up. And India has one. China and Russia each have one. It's part of a seed bank project that the United Nations set up.
Oh.
But there are also other private seed banks, like in Switzerland and in Norway also.
Well, it does seem that companies like Monsanto have been actively working to take over the seed banks of the seeds with genetically modified destructor seeds. So I think at some point all of that washing will wash them away.
Well, I was working at one point with the the plant genetics program in the UN. And in fact, I was instrumental in helping India set up their plant genetics seed bank. And I can tell you, they were receiving a lot of pressure from Monsanto and these other seed companies to conform. And happily, those scientists were so against what Monsanto was doing. And I hope they managed to hold their own against the pressure that they were getting.
Definitely.
And that's course, all we need, you know, one generation of seeds in these banks, and that'll finish us off forever.
That's right. That's right. Now, both you and I know that the technology that exists under wraps, but from the corporations and held by the various underground laboratories, is hundreds, if not thousands, of years beyond our present technology, and we've been kept artificially on oil and electricity because of the financial profits. Are we going to see that whole paradigm crumble and finally allow us to bring forth technologies that scientists have been killed for?
Absolutely. In fact, those technologies are emerging already. I was shown a very...
Are you there?
What they had done was to improve some of the principles of Tesla in capturing electromagnetic currents that are everywhere on Earth. And this amazing thing, you could just, no moving parts in it. You just turn off your electricity in the house, you cut the line, just turn off the main switch, plug this box in, and you have electricity for the rest of your life.
Wow.
And it exists.
Well,
I actually
yes.
saw
yeah.
what. And they are also, this June, they should, in fact, it's just now, they should be coming up with an electric car where you plug this box, where you plug an electric engine into this box, which is in the trunk, and the car can just drive forever.
Wow. Now, the dark forces...
So it's coming out. These things are already showing up.
How is it that they haven't managed to suppress them as they have for decades?
Well, they're hiding, of course, you know, and I think... probably one of the ways that they're going to be able to disseminate this thing is just to put the plans on the internet,
right?
And just send it out en masse to anybody who wants it, and there's no way they can stop it. And these little boxes will just put to rest all the utility companies. It's just amazing.
Wow. Well, of course.
But what I'm saying is that. Already, you see the emergence of this kind of stuff that's just gonna overtake all the dark force monopolies on energy.
And then I'm looking forward to the day when the grasp and the control over the media is removed, so that people can
That's why you have the internet.
Well,
that internet is starting that process of removing. The control that they have over information. I don't know whether you still read, go to ABC News or CBS. I mean, I don't even bother turning them on.
No.
And I think a lot of people are the same way. They're looking at the alternative sources of information.
Yes.
And slowly these media companies, I mean, look how many newspapers have been put out of business.
Oh, yes.
And you see, this is the kind of cleaning up that's happening all over the world. It's happening.
Wonderful. And of course, you travel all over the world, so you're able to see the changes and the progress that is being made.
Yeah, well, I tell you, I'm so surprised. I last month I was in Cyprus. Cyprus is a little island in the eastern Mediterranean, right across from Lebanon.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's a typical case of the dark force. The dark force plan to keep the islands divided. It's divided between the Turks and the Greeks.
Mm.
And I was so surprised to see there actually guns pointing at each other.
Whoa.
There's a line that goes right across the island. And we had a lecture there, and we weren't really sure what we were going to get in terms of audience.
Mm.
And so we sort of geared it more to the economic crisis. But what showed up was a room full of light workers.
Oh, wonderful.
And I said, my God, on this little island, we could fill this room up with light bearers. They just must be all over the place. And that's the great hope. I think that's the great hope of what we're going into,
mm-hmm.
that these light bearers will you know, suddenly be ignited somehow to wake up. And many of them were so aware of what was going on,
mm-hmm.
but they were a little bit confused as to what to do. And where they belonged in the whole divine plan and what they had to do with their lives, you know, which is, I think, a very common common situation among light bearers. Like, they know they got to do something,
right?
But they're not really sure what to do.
Right. Mm. Is part of the purpose of being here to hold the vibration of the light workers so that those higher energies can be channeled through us?
Well, they'll be channeled, you know, throughout the world. It's just that it's more like the light bearers have to tap into these higher energies,
mm-hmm.
to wake up,
mm-hmm.
and that waking up process should tap them into their soul plan, and that's when it becomes clear what each and every one of them has to do.
Right, right, right. Well, that's very uplifting news.
And you know that plan is walking around right in your head all the time. And all you have to do is tap into it. And the way to do that is through deep meditation.
Mm. So when, what can, for instance, the listeners, what can they think about doing for the upcoming times? In other words, there's no way to prepare for a global financial collapse other than, you know, some basic things, some food and water. But what would you suggest we produce on the spiritual levels? And then is there something that we can do on the physical levels that will reassure us?
Sure. The, you know, on the practical level, I've been advocating getting as much of the precious metals as possible. Get silver and gold, because there's going to be a transition period once this whole system breaks down,
mm-hmm.
where you're going to need that to be able to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very, you know, it's very easy. Just go out and get some silver eagles or silver maples and, you know, keep them, because
mm-hmm.
you're going to need them to negotiate. But on the spiritual level, the main thing that everyone needs to do is to gain control of their own minds.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now, if they don't do that, then they will fall prey to panic and the turmoil.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure people who are listening to this program are probably 99% of them are light workers.
Yes.
And what they have to do... And their whole role in this turmoil is to stand out as light bearers. You know, like a lighthouse in the middle of turmoil. They're supposed to be the ones that bring order in their communities to the turmoil that's around them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are several ways of gaining control over your mind, and those are exercises that that have to do with meditation, because
mm-hmm.
that's the way you gain control of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And there are four steps. I don't know whether you want me to go through all four steps right now. We may not have time for that.
Well, we might have to schedule another show.
But the main thing is, I mean, if you go to our website, sanctusgermanus.net, we have a method of, it's called the in-breath meditation method, which is probably a bit advanced. But let me go through it very quickly.
Go ahead, please.
Yeah. The first step of this meditation program would be to, you know, sit down in a nice, comfortable chair. Now, don't fall asleep, because this is not a sleeping exercise. It is an active mental exercise. Close your eyes, calm yourself down, and just keep quiet and silent for a few minutes. And then you're going to see your mind start darting about.
Mm.
And then you're going to see all kinds of stuff, ideas, and pictures pass through your mind. You know, this is your active mind. And what you do is just sit there and watch what goes by, just like you're sitting on the side of a street, watching everything pass by. And this is the first step now. And all you're doing is watching, and you're kind of analyzing what is your mind up to.
Mm-hmm.
Try to get an idea. What is it thinking? What are its preoccupations? And just kind of note them down. Do this for about 10 minutes, if you can hold it that long, and over a period of maybe 2 weeks. And then you'll find that toward the end of the second week, you'll find that there's less stuff, less crap going through your mind. And then you're on the road to the next step. Step two is to meditate on an object. And this is an old method. And so you just concentrate on that. Try to concentrate on that object.
Mm-hmm.
Keep your concentration. It could be a book. It could be a vase. It could be a flower. It could be anything.
Mm-hmm.
But you just choose the object, concentrate on it, and
mm-hmm.
see if you can hold that concentration for 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's not easy.
I know.
Because your mind will start wandering, but just keep coming back and holding it. And then the third meditation that we recommend is called the seven-breath meditation, which you take seven inhalations and seven exhalations, you know, in and out, in
mm-hmm.
and out, and see whether you can do seven without your mind wandering.
Mm.
It is probable, you know, when you start, your mind will start wandering maybe on the second breath already.
Mm-hmm.
And no cheating. You got to go back to the first again.
Oh, okay. You have to go back.
You got to go back to the first and do all seven without your mind wandering.
Ah.
And that'll take a while before you can achieve that. Maybe a couple weeks to a month.
Yes.
But if you can get to that point where you can do seven breaths in and out and control your mind so that nothing enters it during that short period of time, then you're on the road to mind control.
Wow.
To controlling your own mind. And the last step, the fourth step, I would just recommend going to our website and looking at the in-breath meditation method,
okay.
which is more difficult, and it takes longer. But once you've conquered it, you've got everything else. You've got everything. You'll see that your whole life straightens out. You'll be in touch with your plan. You'll have the resources around you. All this stuff will just start coming into your life because
mm-hmm.
what it is, it's the whole soul plan that has mustered up all the resources that goes along with the plan. Otherwise, how can you implement something without resources? So everything starts to come into your life. Everything begins to fall into place, and then you're on your way. And it doesn't matter what kind of turmoil is around you, you're still in control.
Mm.
And that is the most important part.
Mm-hmm. And of course, no matter what happens, we need to be out of fear, because fear lowers your vibration immediately.
Exactly. I mean, when you're in control, you don't fear.
Right.
When you fear, it's just when you're threatened and out of control. But if you know where you're going and what you're doing, you can't be fearful.
You can't be shaken.
You'll be fearless.
Yeah. Yeah, that's wonderful.
And if you know the listeners can achieve those four steps, they'll be the light workers or light bearers that they should be.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that a lot of people do talk about not knowing what they're supposed to be doing and what to do next. So this is an obvious solution to taking those active steps towards discovering what and aligning with one's own soul plan.
Exactly. And then once the soul plan becomes known, and unfortunately, the soul plan is never given to you in a nice, big, thick, bound book, so you can just go through it.
Right.
They give it to you, you know, as far as 1 inch from your nose. And what you have to do, what they expect you to do is take action.
Uh-huh.
So you've got to take the first step, and then the second step will be revealed. Then you take the second step, and then the third step is revealed. And that's how it goes. It's a sort of a testing process in the beginning. And then as you advance more along your path, then you'll be able to see a little further down the road and make the plans. And then the more you go along your path, the farther down you can see. But in the beginning, it's pretty tough, because your guides are not quite they don't quite trust you yet whether you're going to go through with it or not. So the first few steps are tests to see whether you have the resolve to do something about it.
Well, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah, why waste their time on somebody who's going to give up halfway?
That's right. That's right. That's right. And, of course, getting control of the mind and the thoughts eliminates the mind control that sort of surrounds us and allows us think for ourselves.
Exactly. And then what you have achieved at that point is what the Master Joel Kuhl calls the soul-infused personality.
Mm.
This is a walking human being on this earth that is guided through and through by his soul. And that's what we call soul liberation.
Mm.
The soul has been liberated to express itself in the physical body.
Wow. Well, that sounds good.
And then you
to
become
me.
A saint, Lance. No, I'm just joking. Well, pretty close to one.
Wow. Well, you know, this is the time when this is going to happen.
It has to happen.
It has
if
to happen.
If it doesn't happen, we're in deep, deep trouble.
Right, right, right. Absolutely. Well, what are some of the other events that you see on the near horizon?
Well, the near horizon, of course, is within the next couple of months. This tumbling of the economic system, and that I think is good enough. That touches every single person's pocketbook,
yes,
and wallet. And the point is, there may be times where you have to go up to the ATM machine and it's not going to be giving you. It's not going to be spitting out money anymore. And that's why we really strongly recommend that people take the measures to get some silver coins or gold coins if you can afford it, and start changing your worthless paper into actual bullion.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's going to be a period of time, as I said, of great instability, and you walk into the store and give the proprietor your dollar, and he says that he'll say he doesn't want it.
All right.
Give me something else that's more tangible. And I've been in situations like that already when I was working in the Congo.
Huh.
And the whole Congolese money just collapsed one day. and nobody would take it. And
wow.
You got bundles of it, and you can't use it. And happily, I happened to be a foreigner in the country, and I had U.S. dollars. And so I could pay with it. But now it's the U.S. dollar that's going to be the toilet paper.
Right.
So nobody
right.
wants that. So
right.
it's going to have to be some kind of a precious metal or coin of some sort. So I don't think people should take that very lightly, because it could be just around the corner.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, what about the internet rumors that in the Great Depression that silver and gold was confiscated by the government, and that they may be passing laws or taking actions towards disallowing the public from owning those items? Is that
well, they tried that in 1934.
Uh-huh.
Roosevelt declared that all the gold had to be, that private parties were not allowed to own a certain amount of gold, and all in excess had to be turned over. But very few people complied.
Right.
They just took it over the border and banked it in Canada or in Mexico.
Right.
And, but, you know, that is always a possibility. But you do it discreetly when you get these coins. You know, tuck them away. You don't have to tell everybody about it.
Right, right.
Yeah. And when you go to, or you can, when you go to the marketplace, because I think all the supermarkets are going to close down.
Yeah.
You know, you'll have somebody in the corner who's a money changer, and he'll weigh your coins. I've seen this happen, and
mm-hmm.
he'll tell you how much you've got worth there, and then you just go about buying your vegetables and fruits and things in the marketplace.
Do you think it's going to be an important aspect of all of this for local communities to gather together in terms of pooling resources like growing vegetables and...
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think you're going to see the good part of mankind when they pool together in this crisis without government interference. You know, the government authorities will be, you know, broke. They won't have
right.
any taxes.
Right.
And you're seeing that happen. Look at the state of Minnesota. It shut down. The government
yeah.
shut down.
And yeah.
And you'll see people will gather together, and they'll solve the garbage problem. They'll solve the food problem. They'll have community gardens and things like this. This is all going to come back. This
mm-hmm.
is the stuff that's been taken away from us by
yes.
you know these comfortable supermarkets and stuff like that. But all that stuff, people will start using their creative abilities, and it's all going to come back.
Well, plus,
and I'm quite optimistic of what the human race is capable of doing.
Oh, me too.
Of all these.
Me
yeah.
too. The human heart is far more powerful than any battleship or atomic bomb. It can melt mountains. And, you know, when we're connected at the heart, anything is possible.
That's right.
Anything.
And in your soul
yes.
is a store of knowledge that
yes.
can get you through anything.
Yes. Well, some are tapping into what they call the void or the field that's around us, and it's the mind, I guess, they say it's the mind of God or the mind of the divine, where pure genius resides.
Well, that's maybe another way of calling the soul, but we believe that the soul is that spark of life that comes from the sun.
Ah.
Yeah, Amun-Ra.
Ah.
And that spark goes right down into your pineal gland
yes.
in your brain. And that's the seat of the soul.
Wow.
And that you join that soul with the heart, and then you've got, you know, a decent human being.
Right. 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 We redeem
but
ourselves.
But that when you think of it, the importance of the sun, if you turn off the sun, we all die.
Mm.
And esoterically, it stands true that spark of light is the same life-giving spark that's given to your body.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
And also within that spark is everything else that you need, all the knowledge and resources that you need. All you have to do is tap into that.
Mm-hmm. And it's all within. What about the idea that that fluoride, which is being dumped into all of our water supplies in large amounts, causes the pineal gland to atrophy?
Oh my! I didn't know about that.
Yes, and
that's why I've been filtering my water and distilling it for the last 25 years. It must be the reason why. I don't drink out of the tap.
No, I don't either.
Yeah.
I don't either. Well, so, you know, there's nothing we can do about that at this point, but be aware and make sure that we have adequate filtration systems that can filter out that kind of detrimental and harmful material.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, I'm very hopeful about all of this, and you know, I'm so glad that
you... It's a new birth for the Earth. I mean, it's not to be feared, but it's to be welcomed.
Yeah.
And those who perish in all this, these quote-unquote catastrophes, remember that life is eternal.
Yes.
They will come back in different forms, different forms of humans, and they will... You know, partake of this new age. It is not the end.
Right, right, absolutely not. Well, Michael, we have this is hour has flown by on angel's wings, and
my God, is it an hour already?
Yes, I want to thank you for coming back, and I'll have to have you back again so that we can get into some more detail because you're just a wealth of information and very uplifting. And would you mention your website again before we sign out?
Okay, it's Sanctus, S-A-N-C-T-U-S, G-E-R-M-A-N-U-S, one word, .net.
Wonderful, and I highly recommend all of your books because I've read them,
and
I love every one of them.
Okay.
So thank you again for being with us, and I look forward to our next chat.
All
right. Okay, Michael. Good night.